kingdom-minded witness, which is all about this Jesus we treasure, getting not just across our cities to neighborhoods around us, but getting to the ends of the earth, from our neighborhoods to our nations. And it's only rightly that this is the case, because if it's truly Jesus that we're treasuring in our churches, the logical conclusion is this is a treasure to be treasured and a treasure to take to the ends of the earth. That's why it only makes sense that really the Christian, gospel-saturated, Jesus-loving churches sing, because we have something to sing about. Makes sense that we share the gospel and evangelize because we have something to talk about. So I want us to see that from God's word, that not only would we be filled with the gospel, with the treasuring of Jesus Christ, but that this would lead to our churches going out into our city and going to the ends of the earth for the sake of the gospel. It says this in Psalm 67, "May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, Selah. That your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him." Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you would do what we just prayed as we heard your word. Lord, that you would be gracious to us. That you would make your face to shine upon us. That you would bless us with more of Jesus. And not with a Jesus that we keep to ourselves. But Lord, would you not only save us, but satisfy us with Jesus, so that we must take Jesus to our neighbor. So that we must take Jesus to the ends of the earth, because he's worth it. Lord, one day all of heaven will be singing of the worth of Jesus, Lord, just as we've sung of his worth today. And Lord, we long for the day when all nations will do so. So do this among us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we always talk about what we love, don't we? We always talk about what we love. We sing about what we love. When I first met my wife, I used to like get my guitar out and try to sing some songs to woo her. We can't help it. That's how God made us, to sing and to talk about and to not be able to keep to ourselves what we love. If you stay close to me for any time at all, you'll probably hear about my wife. You'll hear about my kids. You'll hear about Kentucky basketball. I know there's some North Carolina and some Duke folks in here, but that's all right. We're here. Hopefully the Lord will work in your heart. Talk about disc golf. I can talk about Christ's fellowship. There's a lot that we talk about because we talk about what we love. And Jesus taught us this. He says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You can't help it. What fills your heart, what consumes your thoughts, what captivates your affections, you'll talk about. So if this was a formula, what you love equals what you talk about. Or to put it another way, there's a direct correlation between what you are treasuring and what you are spreading. Everybody in here is a salesman or a saleswoman. Talking about spreading what we treasure. And this is God's good design. So my goal from Psalm 67 is when we treasure Jesus, we will spread the good news of Jesus. When we as pastors, as leaders, as ministry leaders, when we love and treasure Jesus more and more, we will have to talk about Jesus more and more. Our churches, when our churches sing about and talk about Jesus and hear God's word preached about Jesus, they'll want to leave to talk about Jesus more. God designed this, that we would treasure his son and spread the glory of his son, not just in our gatherings, not just in our neighborhoods, but until every tribe, tongue, and nation treasures Jesus. That's the first thing we see here, is that treasuring Jesus, treasuring this good news of the gospel, and that we see that in verse 1, because in Psalm 67, it begins with this heart-filled desire, this prayer to God. It says, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us. For those who are careful Bible readers, your heart should run to number 6, to the priestly blessing that the Lord gave to Aaron and his sons. And he said to speak this over God's people, to speak this blessing over God's people, to remind them of who they are, of all the good grace that they have been given. So within this blessing are the heights, I would say, of happiness. Within these blessing, these words, they're the pinnacle of all blessedness. For anyone, it doesn't get any better than someone to say this is true of you. Like, there's nothing greater that could be spoken of you than the blessing that we find in Aaron's blessing. Number 6, 24 through 26 says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. There is nothing better that could be said about you, that can be true of your heart. It's the greatest blessing. It's the pinnacle of joy, the pinnacle of peace, to have God who created all things to shower his blessing on you, to show favor to you, to have God who holds the stars into place, who holds all things together, to also be keeping you, protecting you, being a rock of refuge for you, to have a holy God's face, the holy, holy, holy God that all the angels would sing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth be filled with your glory in Isaiah 6. To have that God, his very face, looking upon you with joy and delight and happiness. Can you imagine anything better than a holy God being completely happy with you? Well, for sinners like you and me outside of Christ, we don't deserve this. We can never earn this. There's not enough works we could do. There's not enough ministry we could perform. It's hard to imagine God's holy face shining happily over us. But listen, this is how. Well, because of our sin, we don't deserve God's blessing. No, the Old Testament law actually says we deserve not his blessing, but his curse. Because of our sin, we don't deserve his delight. No, instead, we deserve to turn his face, to have his face to be turned away from us. That would be good and right when God sees us, if he only saw our sin, to turn his face away in disgust, because he's a holy God and we are unholy. We're unrighteous. He is holy, holy, holy. Outside of his work in our lives, we are unholy. But think about this. This is how God always sees his son. This is how God always thinks about Jesus. This is what he's done for all eternity. This is how the Father delighted. If we went back in eternity past, God the Father was delighting in his son, heaven's favorite. It was the focus of all of heaven. And when the Father sees his only son, his heart sings with delight. Remember when Jesus is being baptized at the Jordan River? And John takes him down there and he baptizes him there, John the Baptist. And it says there that they heard a voice coming from heaven saying, "This is my beloved son with whom I'm well pleased. This is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased." Listen, this is not the first time that the Father thought about that. This is not the first time the Father thought this about his son. It didn't just hit him in the moment. I saw Jesus. I saw him in the water. I saw John the Baptist. And for the first time, I thought, man, I delight in Jesus. I delight in the Son. No, if we were to go back 10 trillion years in the past, before the foundation of the world, the Father's heart was always singing. The Father's heart was always saying, always feeling these words about his son. "This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased." It wasn't the first time. It was for all time. That's how the Father delights in his son. And our only hope of this blessing to be true of us, this prayer to be answered for us that we see in verse 1, is in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Where on the cross, when Jesus, the apple of the Father's eye, cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you cursing me? Why are you turning your face away from me, Father, in this moment? Well, the good news of the gospel is the Father was turning his face away from his one and only precious Son, so he could turn his face towards you forever in Jesus. So he can now turn his face towards you, a sinner redeemed by the blood of Jesus, and be delighted in you forever. Jesus bore the curse for your sins on the tree so that we could now receive God's blessings. All the blessings in the spiritual places, ours, belong to us in Christ because of Jesus. Jesus was forsaken in that moment so we could receive the promise that I will never leave nor forsake you forever. Never leave nor forsake you. The Father turned his face away from his son so that now God will keep you as the apple of his eye in Jesus. Can you imagine that the holy God of heaven would think that of you? Well, that's what he thinks in Jesus. When the Father sees you now and forever, he says that you, here is my beloved son. Here's my beloved daughter, in whom I am well pleased. Because he sees you not only as the sinful you that he used to turn, should have turned his face away, but he sees you hidden in his son. I don't know, like, who needs to hear that right now, but the Father delights in you. If you're in Jesus in this moment, because of Jesus, God is happy in you, in his son, with the same delight, with the same rejoicing, with the same pleasure, the same ferocious love that Sean talked about earlier, that he had forever for his son, he now has for you in Christ. He delights in you not because of what you've accomplished. He delights in you not because of how you can preach, how you can perform. He delights in you not because of all you can produce for your family or for your ministry or how you can lead a Bible study. No, he delights in you fully because of Jesus. That means that delight, that love cannot increase or decrease. You are as loved in Jesus today as you will be for all eternity. Because it's all about Jesus. It's his love, his delight is secure for all eternity in Jesus. So when we read here in Psalm 67, may God be gracious to us and bless us and may make his face to shine upon us. We don't have to wonder, God, will you do this? He does it. The Lord blesses you. The Lord keeps you. The Lord's face shines upon you in Jesus right now. And that's why I love that word, Selah. Because it's a musical note telling you, you need to stop. This would be a good time to pause. You might want to stop and meditate about his delight over you. Meditate on his abundant grace, his ferocious love for you. Who, me? Yes, you, if you are in Christ. That should cause us to not rush from this reality, but every day find joy in the fact that he finds joy in you, in Jesus. That's the first thing. We treasure Jesus. We treasure this good news that we have received in the gospel. But it leads to, it will lead to spreading Jesus, spreading the good news of the gospel. Because look at the very next verse, right after we pause, right after we Selah, right after we meditate for a moment, it says this. Notice the reason that God blesses his people, why he graces you. Verse 2, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all the nations. That's why the Lord gives you Jesus. That's why you've been blessed richly in Jesus. That your way, Lord, may be known on earth, your saving power among all the nations. So get what he's saying there. He's saying the psalmist is praying, and we should be praying with him, Lord, bless us. Not just for us. Lord, bless us so that the nations will be blessed. Lord, be gracious to us. Lord, lavish your grace on us. Why? So that the nations will know your grace. Will experience this grace that I have experienced. Lord, may your face shine upon me. Why? So that people from every tribe, tongue, and nation could know that they can be delighted in because of Jesus. The psalm alone convinces me that God's blessing, the way that God blesses you, should not stop with you. Like you shouldn't be a cul-de-sac for God's blessing, where all this blessing comes to you from the Lord, from Jesus, and it just ends with you. The Lord doesn't lavish his grace upon us so that we will just dam it up and keep it all hidden in our hearts, right? No, the Lord blesses us, blesses you, blesses your church so that you will be a blessing to the nations. This is Bible. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. The Lord lavishes grace on your church, on you, so that it will flow freely to those who don't know his grace. Now, we're probably in the most richly blessed time of the church, right? The American church is maybe the most richly blessed people in the history of the church today, right? We have more blessings than any other point, more blessings at our disposal probably than the history of the church. And we should give God a lot of glory for that generosity. And we should be filled with thanksgiving for that generosity. We shouldn't take it for granted, but that should turn to glory and thanksgiving to God. Like right now, any of us could get on a plane and fly to any part in the world for a short-term mission trip to share Jesus with others. We have time at our disposal to use to go around our city and share the gospel. The Bible says that every single one of us, if we have the Holy Spirit, we have been given spiritual gifts that we're to steward so the body might be built up that others might know Jesus. We have more money in the church today. I heard a pastor say just this week, actually a financial advisor, I think, was talking to John Erickson and said, there will be more transfer of wealth in the churches the next few decades than there will be in the history of Christendom. So we've been richly blessed, right? Richly blessed. But listen, the greatest blessing the Lord has given us is himself. The greatest blessing we've been given is Jesus. You've been given Jesus to be generous with Jesus. That's why you've been given the riches and the grace of Jesus, so that you can be generous with the Savior that you've been given. The grace of Jesus that you know, the peace of Jesus, the joy of Jesus, the delight of the Father in you, in Jesus. All of that was given to you so that the nations near and far can experience all the grace that you've experienced. The treasuring of Jesus in our hearts overflows, or should overflow, in the spreading of Jesus' glory in our lives. That's why the prosperity gospel doesn't make sense, right? People with the banner of Christianity going out and to barter and to sell and to give everything but Jesus. When the best thing we've been given is Jesus, to be richly blessed and to be generous with to the ends of the earth. Listen, Paul grasps this reality in Ephesians 3:8. Listen to this verse in Ephesians 3:8, and I pray that we would grasp the same thing. Paul says this: to me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given. This grace was lavished upon me. This grace was given to me. Why? To preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. I was given this grace. I was given this gift to be able to preach, to share, to talk about, to sing about, to those who've never heard, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Does your heart believe that phrase? The unsearchable riches of Christ. Is your heart enthralled with your Savior like that? That there is a bottomless wealth that is found in Jesus Christ. There's unsearchable riches that we could never get to the bottom of that's in Jesus. Riches for us to enjoy all the facets of the diamond that is Jesus, and riches to talk about all the facets of the diamond that is Jesus. Listen, we can try the rest of our life and even the rest of eternity, and we'll never get to the bottom of the bottomless grace of Jesus, to the end of his perfect peace and his unceasing love. That's the unsearchable riches of Christ that we shouldn't grow cold to, that we shouldn't be apathetic about, but we should in the morning wake up, satisfy us this morning with your steadfast love, with your unsearchable riches, Jesus, that we might rejoice and be glad all our days. Not so that joy will stay with us, not so that this peace and this grace and this love will stay with us, but so that the nations will know so that neighborhoods and nations will know you've redeemed not just so that you can rejoice, but for others to rejoice also in those unsearchable riches of Christ. I mean, this treasure that we have been given, how could we keep it to ourselves? This treasure, this treasuring of Jesus should lead to the spreading of Jesus in our lives, in our ministries, in our churches. So let me just close by maybe giving a couple things that we could do practically to cultivate this Christ treasuring, this Christ spreading in our hearts, our own hearts, and in our churches and in our ministries. The first one I would say is just, how about here? This is a very practical one. Treasure Jesus. Like you shouldn't get past Jesus, right? We don't move on past the gospel. I feel like early on in my Christian life, I thought that like the gospel was that part of the sermon for unbelievers. Believers can check out. Or that gospel is for something that I needed to believe and trust to be saved, but now for sanctification, I kind of move on past it. But no, there's nothing that your heart needs more, or your marriage needs more, or your church needs more, or your roommate needs more than for you to treasure Jesus. Ignatius of Antioch, who was a disciple of Polycarp, who was a disciple of John. So think about this, like a great grandkid of Jesus, right? In the line of discipleship where they've passed on to faithful brothers who passed it on to others. Well, now it gets to Ignatius of Antioch, and guess what he says? Apart from Christ, let nothing dazzle you. Apart from Christ, let nothing dazzle you. Those are words to live by for your heart. Apart from Christ, let nothing dazzle you. Guess what? When you're doing planning ministry and planning services in your church, apart from Christ, let nothing dazzle your church. Do everything you can to not take your eyes and your church's eyes off Jesus, the only name under heaven by which we must be saved. And the only name under heaven by which we can be satisfied. So as Jesus takes up more and more territory in your heart, more of your attention, more of your affection, then the more you will desire for Jesus to take up more in territory in the earth. That'll be a correlation. The more he consumes and takes up territory in my heart, the more I want him to take up territory to the ends of the earth. The more you're obsessed with God's, with the glory of Jesus, the overflow of your heart will be Habakkuk 2:14. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. God, I want your glory to consume this church. I want your glory to consume our city, every acre of Bowling Green. Lord, I want it to consume the state. I want you to take up territory of every tribe, tongue, and nation because you're worthy. So one of the questions is, when it comes to the mission of your church or ministry, how convinced are you that the best thing you can give your people is the glory of Jesus? How convinced are you that the best thing that you can, not a new program, not a new song you're going to introduce Sunday, not some event that you're planning, but the best thing we can give people is more of Jesus? Because they'll talk about what they sing about, who they treasure with their heart. So, maybe that's just your new evangelist. Here, you know, you go to conferences or you go to an event, you want to go back with like something to start at your church, like a program. We get a box they'll give you, you know, or something like that. Well, here's your evangelism outreach program. Treasure Jesus. Right? Like treasure Jesus, put the glory of Jesus on display and put before your people the lavish grace of Jesus, the ferocious love of Jesus, that they are full and finally and forever free and forgiven in Jesus. Have you ever noticed that the new believers in your church are the best evangelists? Like, they didn't have to go through the program. Why? Because they haven't grown cold yet. They haven't grown apathetic. They're still amazed by grace. And so they still talk about grace. And if that's true for the new believer that was blind and now see, that was dead and is now alive, oh, we need to be refreshed by the grace and the love of Jesus so that we talk about him. Second thing is faith-filled prayer. Just tying this into what we heard earlier from Brother Sean, is faith-filled prayer. I mean, this psalm is even a prayer for God's glory to go forth. Look at verse 3 and 4. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. Like, if we truly believe, like the songs we find there in Revelation, right? That salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, then we have to be desperate for God to save sinners. If salvation truly belongs to the Lord, we need to be desperate. God, save sinners among us. Save sinners in our gatherings. Save sinners that we're talking to in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods. Wherever you send us, Lord, would you save sinners? We have to be desperate for the Spirit to speak through us. Listen, we will not fulfill the mission of God apart from desperation on God. It's not going to happen. We will not fulfill the mission that God has for our lives or our churches apart from desperation for God to do it through us. It's one of our desires of TCT churches. We write, our churches fervently devote ourselves to Spirit-empowered prayer, believing that as we express our dependence upon the Lord, he graciously unfolds his eternal plans through the prayers of his people. As we depend on him, rest on him, collapse completely all our hope in Jesus, he graciously unfolds his eternal plans through the prayers of his people. I'll often tell our church when we gather to pray together that there are things we need to believe. We should believe as a church that there are things that are going to happen tonight that are happening because we prayed that wouldn't happen if we didn't pray. Does your church believe that about prayer? There are things going to happen because we prayed and sought the Lord that wouldn't have happened if we didn't pray. So we believe that neighbors will come to know Jesus because we prayed for them by name in our community groups, or our Sunday school classes, or with one another, with other brothers and other sisters in the church. We believe that even the unreached peoples of the earth, the unreached peoples will come to treasure Jesus because we prayed for those peoples, even across the ocean. If we truly believe that prayer is the work of the ministry, then the church is already at work here when we pray. We're already at work overseas. We're entering into that work by seeking the Lord. Lord, seek and save the lost, both near and far. A third thing, not just treasure Jesus or faith-filled prayer. A third thing, talk about Jesus. Don't just sing about Jesus on Sunday. We try to sing a lot about Jesus at Christ Fellowship. We were even talking about a song the other day, me and Joshua Biggs, and he said, I like it. I just don't know if it's Jesus-y enough. That's a good word. Maybe that's a good adjective to use around your church. Are we singing and celebrating Jesus? We should preach about Jesus in the sermons, right? We should hear about the gospel, but the last time you talk about Jesus or sing about Jesus shouldn't be just when you're gathered in with the body on Sundays. talk about Jesus you treasure with your neighbors and your coworkers and your friends and your relatives and people on campus and every place the Lord scatters his church. We should be talking about the Jesus we treasure. True joy and gladness. If we believe it comes for us in Jesus and Jesus alone, then what else are we going to give others but Jesus? So two things I try to do in the mornings, don't always faithfully do, but aim to do in the mornings is one, I want to preach the gospel to my heart. Every single morning, usually it's something from God's word. This morning I was in Psalm 61, lead me to a rock that is higher than I. It's a prayer there in Psalm 61. God, would you please, Lord, would you help me find all my safety and all my security in the rock that is Jesus Christ. It's higher than I. Without him, I'm nothing, but Lord, in Christ, I have everything. I have all the enoughness I need. So I want to treasure Jesus and preach the gospel to my heart. But then I want to think about who I could come in contact with that doesn't know Jesus. So I'll often pray this prayer I heard from a pastor years ago. Lord, give me eyes to see. Give me ears to hear. Give me words to say. And give me souls. Lord, give me eyes to see the opportunities and give me ears to actually hear what they're saying and what's going on in their heart and how to speak to them. Give me the words to say that I might speak the gospel. And Lord, would you save them? Would you save sinners? When we go into the earth, go into the world every day, we should expect that God cares about his glory more than we do. Trust that he wants to see his glory fill the earth like the waters cover the sea more than you do. And so there's going to be opportunities and there's going to be people in your path that you can share Jesus with because the Lord's going to be moving long before you're there. So maybe a heart check under this one about talking about Jesus. Is Jesus your greatest treasure? It's a hard question for us as pastors sometimes. Is the glory of Jesus more important to you than everything else? Like, are you after Jesus being lifted up so all men will be drawn to him? Or are you for your ministry being lifted up? Or your name being lifted up? Or your church advancing? Like when you see the glory of Jesus spreading across your city, is your heart jealous because you desire that glory? Or is your heart joyous because you love his glory more than your glory? We just want to see Jesus treasured. If they're lifting up Jesus and people are being drawn to Jesus, then praise God. Because we love the glory of Jesus. That should be our hearts. Treasure Jesus and talk about Jesus. A fourth one, see the nations around us. See the nations around us. Paul's preaching in Mars Hill in Acts chapter 17, and he says this in verse 26 about God's sovereignty, about his providence, about the people that live in your neighborhoods or in your city, wherever you are. It says, and he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way towards him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us. So the God in heaven sovereignly works in determining the times in which people live and the places where they live. Meaning God moves people so that they live by you. And so they're near your church and near the people in your church so that they're near the people that know Jesus. So see the nations that the Lord has brought around you. See, the lost people that the Lord has brought around you, it's not by accident that God is moving nations to us. Maybe it's because we're slow to get to them. The Lord's like, hey, I'm going to get them near you. He determines the allotted periods and boundaries where people move and have their being and where they live in your neighborhood. The question is, will they find a church that's glad in Jesus when they get here? Will they find a church singing for joy in Jesus when they get near your church, your people? Will they find God's people treasuring Jesus so much that they can't help but talk about Jesus? Because that's the Lord's desire, is that in his people he would stir up joy and gladness that sing and talk about Jesus so much that the nations have to take notice. I was so encouraged by this truth from a brother that's even here today, a pastor from the cornfields of Illinois, who's with us today, Brother Steve. Steve's a pastor. Steve Frills is a pastor in what city in Illinois? Mount Carmel. And he's a pastor who has a heart, who came to Bowling Green a couple weeks ago to go on a prayer walk with people in Bowling Green because God has given him a desire for Bosnians to treasure Jesus. And he's in Illinois where there's not a lot of Bosnians in Illinois. And I live in a city in Bowling Green where there's 10,000 plus that live here. And I was convicted a couple weeks ago that this brother's heart's breaking, that Bosnians would come to treasure Jesus. And I've played high school basketball with them, with Bosnians, and I've lived in neighborhoods with Bosnians, lived near Bosnians that I haven't even said the word Jesus to. The Lord is moving people near us so that our hearts might be stirred by the glory of Jesus, so that the nations will come to know Jesus. Bosnians and Burmese and Afghanistan, people from Afghanistan, they might come to treasure Jesus. So the question is, maybe who is the Lord brought near to you? In Taylor Mill or in Toledo? Who's God bringing to Ojai County? Who's the Lord bringing to Somerset? Who are the people around us that we need to treasure Jesus and have our hearts stirred up with joy and gladness of Jesus so much that they can't help but notice it and see it? Hear it from our lips. See the nations around us. See those who don't know the gospel, and let's be glad in Jesus until we have to talk to them about it. And finally, I would say your church, your ministry, your church needs to have a desire to go to the nations, to be a part of what God is doing among the unreached peoples in the earth. You might say, well, our church is small. We don't have a lot of members. I don't know if anybody wants to be a missionary. You need to be a part of, your church needs to play an important part in the work of getting the gospel to the unreached. And there's a lot of ways that that can happen. But every Christian, every church treasuring Jesus should have that Habakkuk 2 heart. Every church should desire that the glory of Jesus would cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. I mean, if we can get Michael Jordan jerseys in the middle of Africa and we can get Coke and Pepsi and Fanta all over the earth, how can we not get Jesus to the ends of the earth? The work, again, doesn't look identical for every church, but the heart of God is that you would treasure Jesus and that you would spread the treasure that Jesus is to you. One simple way you could do that is begin with prayer. Download, even today, the Unreached Peoples, the Unreached of the Day app. It's a Joshua Project app. Every single day gives you an unreached people to pray for. You can pray for an unreached people group. It's never heard the gospel. It is unengaged with the gospel of Jesus Christ. A good idea would be for your church to If your church hasn't done this, I pray that they have, but if they haven't, maybe make it a point this week. Our church is going to find an unreached people group that we're going to continue to pray for. In our Sunday gatherings, in our elders' meetings, we're going to pray for this people, this specific people, that they would come to know Jesus. Adopt for your heart and for your people an unreached people group. There's 3.4 billion unreached peoples in the world today. Over 7,000 unreached people groups, unreached, unengaged with the gospel. I know the IMB uses a stat that I know I heard Paul Chitwood say. I think it's around 150,000 people will die every day without hearing the gospel, without knowing about the good news of Jesus Christ. Unreached peoples, that they would be one day gathered around that throne. Revelation promises that every people, tribe, and tongue will be gathered around that throne. Throne singing about the glory of Jesus, treasuring Jesus with us. And the Lord doesn't want to do that without us. It's a gift, just like Paul said, to go, this gift to preach of the unsearchable riches of Jesus. We get to do that. For our church, we began praying for the Zaza people of Central Asia. This was years ago, I would say back in 2012, we started praying for unreached peoples. Lord, we want to see the Zaza people reach with the gospel in Central Asia. Now we have four families and a single lady living among there. Never would have dreamed of that happening. But once you enter the work of, and your church begins to pray, don't be surprised if your people start going. Because this Jesus that they treasured, we want people from every tribe, tongue, and nation to come to treasure him too. This is what we read in Revelation 7, 9 through 10. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Salvation belongs to our God, to our Father who's turned his face upon us in Jesus, in delight, and to the Lamb, to Jesus who died and rose again for us. This vision is a vision that's a reality, that will one day be a reality for everybody in here in Jesus. It's a picture of a real heaven with the real church gathered from every tribe, tongue, and nation. If you turn to Revelation 7, it's not, John's not looking at cardboard cutouts of people. There's no fake people in that scene. They're not shooting a scene pretending to worship the Lamb. No, it's real people. Real people who've come to treasure this real Savior, Jesus Christ. If we could go there in that, to that place right now, if we could go to glory, it's people like you and me who are hidden in Christ. Men and women from Bowling Green and Owensboro and Toledo and Cincinnati, even people from Bosnia, from Turkey, from India, and from Brazil, and from Afghanistan, and from tribes that no one has ever got to, but who Jesus died that they might be his. They'll be there, people from every tribe, tongue, and nation. And it all began when the Lord lavished his grace upon us, made his face to shine upon us until our hearts and our very lives had to say with all of Revelation, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Oh, this is a Savior who's so good. How could we ever keep him to ourselves? Let's pray together. Father, that's our prayer, Lord, that you would draw our hearts to Jesus today. You would captivate us with a fresh sight of our Savior. That in Jesus, Lord, you have been gracious to us as sinners. And in Jesus, you have blessed us. Oh, Lord, you have lavished your blessings on us, not because of us, but because of Jesus. Lord, in Jesus, your face has turned away from your Son on the cross so it could turn your face towards us forever in delight and in joy and happiness, not because of us, but because of Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would stir us to treasure Jesus, Lord, so that your way may be known on the earth, so that your saving power would be known among all nations. And to people from every tribe, tongue, and nation would cry, worthy is the Lamb who is slain. Lord, help us treasure Jesus. Lord, until all tribes treasure Jesus. Lord, let our people not grow cold. Let us not grow complacent. But Lord, help us treasure him till we spread him to the ends of the earth. Lord, our prayer together as a people today, we desire for your glory to fill the earth as the waters cover the seas. And Lord, that's a promise. It will happen. But Lord, we beg that you would not allow it to happen without us. We want to be a part of that work. We want our churches to have the joy and the delight of telling people about Jesus to our neighbors and to the nations. Please, Lord, help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.